want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Friday. Thank the Lord it's Friday. So welcome to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and we thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. So we also want to say thank you to our listeners out there, some of whom through the couple of years we've had a few on occasion who have partnered with us and sent in a donation, and we say thank you very much for every one of those gifts, and we pray for you that God will bless you, lead you, and prosper you in everything that you put your hand to do. So thank you, and especially for those who have sent in donations recently to help us with our radio broadcast. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning, and we'll have our kids' church as well. Kids are getting ready to go back to school. And why don't you do your kids a favor and get them established in a church where they are going to hear the Word of God, be taught biblical values, and are going to listen. How many of you would like your kids to be people who told you the truth, who were good people, who had good hearts and were good students and were becoming men and women of value or valor, men and women of virtue? And the best way to do that is to get them trained up in by you training them, first of all, but also raising them up in a church environment where they are going to hear the Word of God and learn how to apply it. So that's coming up Sunday morning, 10:30, our worship service. Kids start back to school, I believe, on Wednesday the 12th, if I'm not mistaken. And also, we are starting our Grow Groups this coming Sunday night, studying Get Out of That Pit by Beth Moore. By the way, I absolutely love Beth Moore's passion for the Word of God. I've heard her on a number of occasions just absolutely love her passion for the Word of God. Also, we want to invite you a week from tomorrow will be our free leadership development seminar. It is going to be taking place from 9 till 12:30, a 3.5-hour session in our sanctuary at Merit Assembly of God. Come, be blessed, and become the leader that God created you to be. By the way, you do know in the scriptures that it says God has called you to be the head and not the tail, right? He has called us to be the head and not the tail. And so if you're tired of being the devil's whipping boy or failing at the things that you put your hand to do, why don't you come check out this leadership seminar? And Duke Matlock is the speaker of that. He travels around, does personal coaching, and it will be of major benefit to you. If not, we'll do double your money back for this free seminar. So we don't make that offer very often, only when the cost is free. Do we make the double your money back guarantee. So 9 to 12:30 on Saturday, and hopefully you have figured that out, that that's a joke, and you are laughing at this point in time. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 41, shall we? Joseph has imparted to Pharaoh his strategy, and Pharaoh has said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And I want you to know that in just that brief encounter that Pharaoh had had with Joseph, all of a sudden, Joseph's dreams from when he was a 17-year-old boy have come to pass. Actually, it's beyond his dreams. His brothers have not yet come and bowed down. But I want to point out to you in verse number 43 that it says, "And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, 'Bow the knee.'" In other words, when Joseph was going through the city, there were people who were going before him, and they said, "You'd better humble yourself and bow, because this representative of Pharaoh is coming through." Do you recognize the level of authority that had just been imparted to this Hebrew prisoner? Listen, later on you're going to find out that the Egyptians, even though Pharaoh or Joseph had been established, that they wouldn't eat at the same table with him because Hebrews were detestable to them. But here they are, and they're saying, okay, all of Egypt is going to have to bow down to Joseph. Pharaoh has said to him, you shall be over all my house. Now, let me take you back and remind you that when Joseph was over Potiphar's house, everything he put his hand to was prospered because the Lord was with him. And then when he was in the prison, everything he put his hand to do prospered because the Lord was with him. And now Pharaoh is telling him, you are going to be over everything that is in my house. And what do you suppose is getting ready to happen to Pharaoh's house? I want you to know that God is a God who blesses. And having Spirit-filled believers is a blessing to any government, any church. And you and I, we need to thank God for the presence of godly men and women in our lives. I'm thankful for the people that God has surrounded me with. There are people that everything they do is successful. Everything they do is, it ends up being blessed. Praise the Lord for that. I will tell you this, that as every time that we have increased our missions giving, God has blessed us to an even greater degree. We are very, very thankful. So Pharaoh's house is getting ready to be blessed. Pharaoh says, "You shall be over all my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word." All my people will be ruled according to your word. Let me take you to Psalm 105 just a moment. I know we turned to this passage at an earlier time, but I want to show you something in Psalm 105, verse number 17. "He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him, and the king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and the ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom." Wow, look at that. Pharaoh told Joseph, he said, "Your word is going to govern my land. They are my people. You're going to be over everything in my house. You're going to be over all of my people. And you will rule, or these people shall be ruled according to your word." And so look at what he said. It said that princes were bound at Joseph's pleasure, and Pharaoh's elders were taught wisdom. Okay? And so I want to encourage you that when God sets you up in a position of authority, use that authority not as a position to abuse people, but as a position to be able to teach and impart truth to others around you. I oftentimes refer to my own life. I refer to the lessons I've learned the hard way, the lessons I've learned the good way. And there are people that I feel indebted to. And so I want to share. That's what I like to do here on the radio program, is share with you any wisdom that God may have imparted to me. So Pharaoh said, "Your word is going to be the standard by which Egypt is going to be governed. Isn't it strange that in this day and time, 2015, that there are several things that have no value? Okay? The first thing that people in our current society have diminished to a great extent is their own individual word. People say things all the time, and then they go back and they don't do it. A lot of times people say it just to get you off of their back and get you out of the way, but their word really has no meaning. It used to be that you could go up and shake a person's hand and they would have given you their word, and that word would have been as good as gold. But now a lot of people's words are no more valuable than an NFL contract, where a player can be cut for just about anything, and that's it. They can have a contract one day, and later in the day that contract be nullified, and they literally be out there with only the things that they have managed to save up. So I want to encourage you to, first of all, be a person of your individual word. The second thing is, Joseph had been governed by a word for a long time. He was being governed by the word of the Lord. And in our current society, we have, to a large extent, undermined the credibility of God's word. If you're out there witnessing to somebody on the street, if you're come across the path of someone who's going through a difficult time, and you tell them, "Well, the Bible says this," they will just say, "So what do I care what that ancient book says?" People now do not understand that the word of God is living. It is quick. It is powerful. It is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It is a word that is going to endure. It is a word that has got wisdom beyond man's wisdom. It is a word that is sufficient to live by. There was an evangelist one time, and as it was a husband and wife, and they were doing a marriage seminar, and I remember her saying this. She said, "The Bible is not just the word for preaching, it is the word for living." And so I want to encourage you that if you want to be successful in business, do business according to the word. You say, "Well, what does the Bible talk about business?" A lot. If you would like to hear about it, ask me, and I'll share with you some of the principles that it says about wisdom. If you want to know what the Bible says about leadership, come to the seminar on August the 15th and find out what God says about leadership. It describes the way that we are to lead people, whether they're members of our family, our coworkers, or as a political leader. Righteousness exalts a nation, but unrighteousness will be a nation's downfall. And so Bible, God's word, God's not going to be mocked. His word is going to come to pass. So we have undermined the word of God, and as a result, we get the byproduct of living under another word, under a faulty word. If the word is our foundation, and by the way, it says that Jesus is the word, and so whenever we undermine the word of God, we undermine the authority of Jesus in our own lives, and that's why we can have so many people claiming to have Jesus as Savior, and yet they are not manifesting any of the evidence of the grace of God. How do we do that? How do we reverse that trend? First of all, this. Make the word of God a high priority in your life and my life. The word of God needs to be a priority in our churches again, not just a social gathering where we come together and have a good time. It's not a concert hall where we see who can outdo one another with their vocal abilities or their musical talents. It's a place where we come to meet the living God and live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Joseph, Pharaoh says, "Your word, speak that word. If I can, I take you back to the centurion. I am a man under authority, therefore I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes. All you've got to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed." That's the type of lesson that Joseph had just been put under as far as Pharaoh. He was a man under authority, and he was supposed to speak. He was supposed to delegate. He was supposed to impart wisdom and teach people around because they were Pharaoh's people, and Pharaoh wanted them to live, and Pharaoh wanted them to thrive. Can I tell you, God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to thrive. He wants you to be successful. It's the devil that has your destruction in mind. So, only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. So here Joseph is, and Pharaoh says, you are over all the land, over all my household, over all my people. Your word goes, but you have a boundary, and that is this. Your word does not trump my word. I am the king. You are empowered because of my word. You have authority because I have given that authority to you. But you have boundaries. And I am so thankful that God establishes boundaries for us. He says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Verse 42, he takes the signet ring off his hands and puts it on Joseph's hand. That's what they would do. They would seal a document with wax, and then they would put a signet ring. They would put that in the wax, or well, it would be primarily wax, and that way people could see that it was sealed, and that was like a postmark on a stamp. You could tell that it had been used. You could tell that it was authoritative. The only way to get that wax seal off was to melt it, and in the process of melting it, you would have done away with the impression of the signet ring. He clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Can you imagine the whirlwind of activity that is culminating this 13-year journey from Joseph bringing back the bad report of his brothers when he was 17 to being sold into slavery, delivered to Potiphar's house, delivered to Pharaoh's prison, and now all of a sudden, in just one unbelievable day, he now has a ring on his hand, a ring of authority. He's clothed in the finest clothes that he's ever been attired with. And there's a gold chain around his neck. He rides in the second chariot. By the way, there is a program out there called I Am Second, where a lot of people have shared their testimony about the priority of Jesus in their life. And some of those stories are really fascinating. I encourage you to do it, because here's the reality. We talk about how God makes you and I priceless. But I want you to understand something. The world does not revolve around you. It doesn't revolve around me. It revolves around Jesus. Okay? Always remember that you are second. In a marriage, let me tell you, I love my wife, but my wife is my second love. Jesus is my first love. There are some people that are listening and like, well, that's just wrong. And you see, that's the thing, that even though modern society has redefined marriage is supposed to be between a husband and a wife and God. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay? There, it's supposed to be a threefold cord. God, husband, and wife. And no other definition, no other substitute is going to measure it up. I got this funny story that is going through my head right now. And so I will tell you this. It's publicly humiliating, and it will cause you never want to eat the food that I prepare as long as you live. But one time I decided that I was going to make pancakes. This is a long time ago. I might have been 12 or 13 years old, but if so, I wasn't much older than that. But I decided that I was going to make pancakes and make breakfast for everyone, but I got the baking powder and the baking soda mixed up. And so when I made the pancakes, they looked like pancakes, but they didn't taste like pancakes. There was a difference. They were both white powders. They had an appearance that was pretty similar, but they weren't the same. And I believe that that's what society is going to learn the hard way. The parts of God's recipe for a successful marriage, they're not interchangeable with just anything that you want to bring into the equation. You can't just take out his ingredient and put in your ingredient. It's not going to result the same. You know what? Nobody ate my pancakes. You know why? Because they weren't pancakes. They had the wrong ingredients in them. And so I encourage you to make sure that you keep God as the highest priority in your life. God has priority over my feelings. He has priority over my my finances. He has priority over my judgments. He has priority over my time. He is the utmost in my life. Everything I do, God has got to go before me. Okay? And so people would be riding out before Joseph, bow the knee. Let me just say this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There are two ways that that can happen. One is you can do it voluntarily. You can say, you know what? I recognize his dominion. I recognize his authority, and I'm going to bow and I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Or you can wait until it is too late to change your mind. There is coming a time where the season of grace will end, that when you die, there is no second chance. When you die, you have made your last choice. But even then, no matter what you have lived like, if you did not have Jesus as your Lord, it says that you will have your part in a hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you. But if you look in Revelation, there's going to come a time when death, hell, and the grave are going to bring out all who are in it. And all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will stand before what is described as the great white throne of judgment. And there they will see that God is just and God is holy, that God is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And at that point in time, they will bow the knee and they will confess, and then they will be removed from his presence to an eternal lake of fire. You do not have to be a part of that. Jesus has extended to all of us the offer of salvation. And today I'm not trying to scare you out of hell. What I am trying to do is open your eyes, the understanding of your heart, to the veracity of God's love, to the reality of his love, to where you are ready to embrace him as Lord and Savior. Bow the knee, they said. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. That is a lot of authority. There wasn't a building project that was begun without Joseph's okay. Pharaoh had given Joseph pretty much total command over all of Egypt. And then he changed his name to Zaphnath-Paneah. Joseph, by the way, means add another. We've talked about before that. Joseph was not only given authority, he was given a new name. He was given a wife, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. He didn't take that authority that he had and just sit on it. He began to go throughout the land and implement the strategy that God had given that was going to result in the land of Egypt and all its people and the people from the surrounding regions being able to survive this oncoming 7 years of devastation. It says here, verse number 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. And Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Hallelujah. We're probably not going to get all into that today, but let me just describe this to you. When you start implementing God's strategies in your life, whether it's you start implementing his strategies out as to how you take care of your physical body, when you start implementing strategies as to how you treat his finances, as you begin to implement his strategies of how to treat your neighbors and the people around you, your family members, when you start implementing his strategies, I want you to know that there is going to begin to take place a revolution in all of those areas of in your life, to the point that you're going to be so blessed. I love what it says there, that he gathered so much that he stopped counting because they didn't have a device that was able to measure it. What's it say? It was immeasurable. It was immeasurable. What's your life look like right now? You're here on a Friday. We're getting ready to go into the weekend, and just ask you, are you implementing the strategies that line up with God's word, or are you still trying to wing it? You know what? If we were in an airplane and that airplane was nosediving, you would not want me to be in the cockpit during that time because I don't know how to fly an airplane. I could push the buttons and I could pull the levers and push the pedals, but it would all be a guess. It would probably result in a horrible, disastrous failure. And yet that is the way so many people rule their life. They're just winging it and just flying by the seat of their pants, when there's a better way, and that is do life by the word of God and let him lead you safely home. Father, I just pray for a weekend of abundant blessing. I pray, God, that this would be a transformative day where people start operating with the strategic wisdom that comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We hope to see you Sunday at Merit Assembly of God.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me.